Pop Spotting 64.
Tuesday, June 7th, 2011.
What's the poop?
The poop?
Poop. Scoop. Skinny. The Haps. The Dealio. The 411.
Welcome to Pop Spotting. I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
Today is TV Tuesday. Mm-hmm. We'd actually like to tackle two shows today. They're both long gone, but they are available on DVD and streaming through Netflix.
Yep, and we're covering them because we do recommend them. They are related. They're both Brian Fuller shows, and they are Dead Like Me and Pushing Daisies. In fact, the shows themselves, their concepts are pretty closely linked. And we'll start, I think, with Dead Like Me. It was on for two seasons at Showtime, two full seasons there. And what's the basic premise?
A girl, an 18-year-old girl played by Ellen Muth, her name is George. She dies in the middle of Seattle due to, I guess you could say, a space accident.
Yes, a very unique space accident.
And she is then recruited to be a reaper of souls. She takes the souls of people just before they die.
Right, and that sounds very dark. And when you suggested it to me, I said, well, that sounds like a barrel of fun. And it is a dark show. I mean, there's humor quite a bit. I wouldn't say it's a comedy. It's a dark comedy is probably a
very
good way
dark
to put
comedy.
It. But it's still very enjoyable. Now, Ellen Muth is pretty good, and I guess an unknown actress. I'm not sure if she went on to do much
else. I've never seen her in anything else.
Now, she doesn't do this alone. In fact, she has a boss played by Mandy Patinkin, who plays Rube as sort of the lead reaper.
He is excellent. He's pretty, I mean, he's great in pretty much everything.
That's right.
He was Inigo Montoya, but he's actually a very interesting character.
Absolutely. And the entire ensemble is very strong. All of these characters, all of these reapers, and specifically the way they interact with each other and with the rest of the world, the unsuspecting real world, is what makes the show very compelling.
Callum Blue plays a character named Mason. Mason was kind of a wannabe rock star in the swinging 60s in London. And he's a kind of a man-child. He's very frozen in that time frame. And I actually really like the relationship between him and the character named Roxy, who's played by Jasmine Guy. Roxy is a police officer. So the interaction between those two is often very funny.
Now, you mentioned that from the 60s, all of these characters are reapers as of the date that they expired, and they expired at different times. So, you know, George, the lead character, she's always going to be an 18-year-old girl forever and ever. In fact, when the series started, there was a character named Betty, who was played by Rebecca Gayhart, a very, you know, flitty, very happy, very whimsical blonde woman.
Kind of a hippie chick.
Yeah, yeah. But unfortunately, Rebecca Gayhart left the series at the same time that Brian Fuller left, about four or five episodes into the series, and was replaced by another sort of hippie chick, Daisy, played by Laura Harris. But in any case, both of them, or Laura Harris's character in particular, was a movie star in the early days of filmmaking, so that's where she's stuck. She sort of lives in that, I'm ready for my close-up now sort of character.
And the thing about Daisy is she suffered from the same thing that a lot of characters that come into series later on as new characters, you know, you're not really used to them. But I have to say, Daisy really grew on me.
Oh, right. I mean, I was kind of upset when Betty or Rebecca Gayhart's character left. I was like, that's kind of weird. And whatever the reasons were for it, it was so obvious that Laura Harris's character, Daisy, was a replacement. So I think it did take some time to get used to. But now, you know, we're as affectionate toward her as anyone else. Now, of course, although you're a reaper, you have to sort of have these interactions with the real world. George got a day job at a Happy Time temp agency, and in fact, seeing her trying to hold down a regular day job at the same time she's out there reaping souls of people right before they die kind of provides a lot of the comedy and a lot of the drama, I think, of the show.
I love her boss, Dolores. She's played by Christine Wills. Dolores is a little loopy, but she also grounds George in a way. She kind of helps George come to terms with her own death and having to say goodbye to her family.
Right. Actually, Mandy Patinkin's character, Rube, sort of is the father figure here. And I would say definitely Dolores Herbig of Her Big Eyes. You know, she's sort of the mother character. Now, you mentioned her family, you know, George's family coming to terms with saying goodbye to them. Well, her family is trying to come to terms with losing her. And that's a whole other sub-story, subplot, a group of characters that are part of the show. Probably not my favorite of the ensembles, but very important in terms of George's character once again.
the relationship in George's family is very dysfunctional. Her parents don't get along, and George, and we learn that George in her life did not necessarily get along with her mother. And we do see the conflict between she and her mother when she was alive through flashbacks. And I actually enjoy those quite a lot because they feel very true. It really feels like the kind of thing that happens between mothers and daughters.
You know, that's interesting that you say that. I mean, to me, it was maybe the reason why I'm not nuts about it is because a lot of the interactions on the show are very silly, are very cartoon-like, but the relationship between George and her parents and the sister in particular, Reggie, played by Britt McKillop, is very real, almost perhaps too real and uncomfortable in that sense. In fact, the mother's character, Cynthia Stevenson, plays the mother. She is not a sympathetic character at all.
No.
I am so surprised. I mean, I didn't know what to make of her because it's not like she's just the mourning mother and so we need to give her some space. They don't, you know, they don't polish her up in any way. They don't sugarcoat it at all. You're not supposed to like her, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, and that's kind of the one of the most interesting things about this show is that we definitely see all sides of all the characters. For instance, George is not always the most likable person either.
Right.
George is snarky. She's sarcastic.
She's very droll.
I mean,
she's not a bright and friendly, dancy person at all. In fact, I can see someone watching this series, and it took me a while to get used to her as well. She's not an upper, you know. She's as a lead for any series, it was quite a gamble to go with an unknown actress and with a character that's very hard to get a handle on. But overall, I think we like how it all worked out, and we're very much enjoying the show. We haven't finished it. We got a few more episodes to go, but we're clearly going to finish it. We should briefly mention that this series did okay enough on Showtime that they tried to make a movie about it as well.
They tried to make a movie of it, and I disliked it so much that I cannot even remember what it was about.
Well, it was called Dead Like Me, Life After Death. It came out in 2009, so that was like probably 5 years after the series had disappeared.
Right.
So that's significant in a way that the show had an impact like that.
Co-starring Henry Ian Cusick.
That's right. Henry Ian Cusick was probably why we decided to give it a shot, but it didn't leave much of an impact on me, and for anyone who was loyal to the show, it really didn't do much for them either. But
yeah.
Dead Like Me, the actual show on Showtime, 2 seasons of it that came out, we do recommend it. You can find it on DVD and Netflix streaming. But Dead Like Me spawned sort of a cousin, sort of a weird relative of itself that came out on ABC.
It's called Pushing Daisies. It aired from 2007 to 2009, and it's billed as kind of a forensic fairy tale.
Right. It's a PI, a private investigator, sort of investigating various cases every episode, but again with a larger arc and with various characters. But the thing about Pushing Daisies, and the reason why we missed it, is that it was very different from and on at the same time of year as Lost. So we couldn't really find a way to switch our brains into it, because Pushing Daisies is a very different kind of animal.
Well, if Dead Like Me is Pearl Jam,
okay,
Pushing Daisies is like the B-52s.
Okay.
It's very shiny, very bright. The costume design, it's all like fluffy skirts and sundresses, and everybody looks very dapper and happy.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like a Dr. Seuss novel come to life or something. I can't really put my finger on the style, and that's what really characterizes the series at first glance. It's what a lot of people loved and probably what might have scared some people away. All primary colors, all the buildings are like leaning to one side, and they look like drawings that a child made. I mean, it's very whimsical and silly, and does not in any way try to act like it's happening in the real world.
And a lot of the action takes place in a pie shop. I mean, what's happier than a pie shop?
Exactly, and there's sort of things like that throughout this series. Now, the similarities to Dead Like Me are pretty hard to avoid. It's a show that surrounds death and various rules and rituals that are assigned to death. With Dead Like Me, it's whose souls need to be reaped and when, what happens when you don't do it, what happens when this happens or that happens. Here in Pushing Daisies, you've got a character who dies. In fact, you've got a female lead with a bizarrely male name.
Chuck.
There. Right, Chuck, a Charlotte Charles, but known as Chuck, and she dies. Not a spoiler, I mean, that's the conceit of the whole show, but just like George in Dead Like Me, she still exists in the world and so has to find her way about and find a way to interact and find a way to explain things. Why is she back from the dead? Well, she met a character who can bring people back from the dead, and yet his powers have specific rules and specific rituals. In fact, when you're watching Pushing Daisies, they have to sort of reiterate what the rules are of this universe, and it sounds right. complicated, but they do a really good job of it. So here the ensemble, I think, is even better, even brighter, even stronger, and much more lovable than in Dead Like Me. But in part, it's because they're all a little more cartoony, a little more fantastical. But all of the actors and characters are great.
For me, the star of the show is Kristen Chenoweth. She's well known as a Broadway actress, and she's done some TV stuff. But she plays a character named Olive Snook. And Olive Snook really steals the entire show for me.
Absolutely. Now, the show's sort of construct is you have this dead girl played by Anna Friel, Charlotte Chuck Charles, and the person who brings people back from the dead, Ned, played by Lee Pace. And they're both beautiful, sweet, lovable characters. They're in love, but they can't touch because of these rules. And if you want to talk about, you know, building romantic tension in a relationship, not being able to physically contact each other, trust me, they get a lot of mileage out of that. But there is a triangle there because there's this character, the Kristen Chenoweth character, Olive, that's also in love with Ned. And really just seeing the three of them interact in the pie shop and elsewhere, how their relationship evolves and things change, that's worth watching all by itself. But of course, there's much more happening here. To drive the show from episode to episode, they use Ned's power to become a crime-solving team, and in that they have a partner as well.
Emerson Codd is played by Chai McBride, right. And he is a private investigator by trade, and he knows Chuck's secret, and he wants to tell people Chuck's secret. But eventually, he befriends them, and they all become partners.
And he's sort of, you know, he's kind of trying to be crusty. He's kind of trying to be distant, and he's very sarcastic, but he's very lovable. And I don't know why, but it is sort of an archetype here. It is sort of a character you see everywhere. Even the boss on Chuck, you know, the big boss
big
there.
Big Mike, yeah.
Right, Big Mike. There's sort of this character here as well, but he has some of the best lines. I mean, it's some really laugh-out-loud stuff there as well.
And we do really see a softer side to him as the series progresses.
Absolutely. Now, there's the only other characters that really jump out that I think are worth noting are the sisters, the two sisters that right. raised Charlotte Charles or Chuck, because they're a fantastic duo. And again, they're not, you know, they're a little cartoonish, but they're not the bright and happy characters, but they're still a blast.
Right. Ellen Green and Spoosie Kurtz play Chuck's maiden aunts, Lily and Vivian. And Lily and Vivian are mermaids. By trade, they did a traveling mermaid show when they were young, and they're now retired because of Chuck, partially. Through the series, we learn about their relationship and the things that have happened to them in the past and how they're connected. And actually, towards the end of the series, there's a pretty big reveal.
Absolutely. I mean, they become a significant part of the overall story, and I like that a lot. I mean, this was such a fantastic, playful, fun, creative series. Very, you know, colorful, like we said, like reading a storybook. I like the romantic triangle, the family stuff with the secrets and everything, and there was the mystery of the week, like why did this person die, why did that person die. There's some really hilarious storylines and creative ways for people to kick the bucket on the show. And we should mention the show has a narrator all the way through by Jim Dale. He sort of narrates the story. He's omnipresent. He's not really part of the story, but I would say that he's a key part of the success of the show.
He actually he narrates the Harry Potter audiobooks.
Right, the same guy. So very good series, but unfortunately it just could not catch a break. The first season was cut off by the writer's strike, and then the second season, when they came back, the ratings were so bad, they cut that one off halfway through as well. So basically, you've got only half of a first season and only half of a second season, and of course, that second season is only partially told story. Now, it's a really tragic loss in my book, because there could have been so much more, and they clearly had just had a hard time staying on their feet in terms of putting the show together. The end of the show, they were able to use recycled footage, unused footage. People actually donated time and work to put together a little montage that's sort of an epilogue to the show. It's their new man in charge. You know, they were able to say, now we're all done, but here's what happened and here's what became of these characters. And I, on one hand, it was really abrupt and really sad to see it, but I'm also kind of happy that Brian Fuller and his team were given an opportunity to put a little tiny bow on a great series.
In the two shortened seasons that it was on, it scored 17 Emmy nominations and won 7 times.
That's right, and Kristen Chenoweth was the winner of one of the big ones. So many people loved this series, but the fact of the matter is, you know, critically acclaimed and commercially successful are two different things.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I should note that Brian Fuller has promised that there's going to be a comic book to tell more of their story or the rest of the story. And if there's any TV series that looked like a comic book come to life, it was probably this one.
Yeah, definitely.
And I was kind of worried that nothing had come of it. I was sort of picking up mentions here and there. But as recently as April, a couple of months ago, Brian Fuller posted on Twitter just a picture of the first page of that comic book. So it's somewhere. It's somewhere in process, and I, for one, can't wait to see
it. I can't wait either.
So there you've got it. You've got two Brian Fuller series, Dead Like Me, on Showtime. Two seasons only to get through there, and very well worth it. And it was well pushing daisies to half seasons there on ABC. And once again, they're available on DVD as well as Netflix streaming, at least as of this recording.
So we'd like to know if you think if we're spot on or way off base, because we need you, and we'd love to hear your thoughts on this or anything else we cover here on Pop Spotting.
You can leave a comment on our blog at popspotting.net. You can drop us an email at feedback@popspotting.net or leave a voicemail at 815-310-0808.
You can also connect with us at facebook.com/popspotting or twitter.com/popspotting.
We'll be back tomorrow, and I think we're going to go back to the book talk this week.
Yeah.
And we want to say thanks to Dan Pashman of The Sporkful for our theme song. Mahalo to you for listening.
For Pop Spotting, I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
Aloha.
Aloha.